We also know of performances and rituals carried out in these courtyards at the centre of the palaces that almost certainly have some kind of religious significance. For example, in one of the most remarkable frescoes to come to us from the Minoan world, we see two athletes at either end of a bull, one appearing to steady its rump and the other to be steadying its horns, as a third athlete leaps over the horns of the bull and vaults over its back. Now, this is quite an astonishing performance, and it recalls the close association that the bull has for many cultures, and it certainly seems to be the case here, close association with divine power and virility. So we seem to have these performances taking place in the palaces, representing some kind of athletic performance and homage to some kind of virile deity. But you'll notice that as I talk about this Minoan religion, what I'm doing here is often talking about archaeological sites or objects and trying to extract a meaning from it. Now, if I were talking about a modern culture and I wanted to discuss its religion, of course, the first thing that I would do would be to go to a religious text. One of the problems that bedevils the study of the Bronze Age is that we are dealing with a society in Minoan Crete that has left us no literature. There is no religious literature. There is no liturgy. We can sing no hymns to these gods or goddesses. No secular literature either. No love poems. So that it's very difficult to reconstruct the mentality or the thought world or the world of belief that surrounds this Minoan culture. And instead, what we have to rely on is extrapolation from the archaeological and the iconographic evidence. Now, such extrapolations can be a little dangerous, and I want to give you one example. You may have seen the fresco that is often referred to as the Prince, a figure shown in a hieratic stance, a young man with a great plumed headdress, who seems to be either a priest or a powerful figure in Minoan culture, shown on the walls at Knossos. And like nearly all the other depictions, either in wall paintings or frescoes or even in the minor arts of Minoan men, he's wearing a characteristic outfit, usually referred to as a kilt. It appears to be a heavy leather belt around his midriff and then some kind of cloth kilt that goes from that, goes down from that. Some years ago, it was argued that the reason that the men shown in all Minoan art are so handsome and manly and virile-looking is that when they reached their adulthood, they were actually welded into one of these garments. It was a metal band, and that they were not physically capable of growing any fatter as they got older because the garment wouldn't allow them to. Now, of course, there is absolutely no evidence for this. There is no literary evidence for it, and in fact, it's probably a silly idea right from the very beginning. But it illustrates the way in which Minoan culture, because it is, in a sense, a silent culture, has allowed people to imagine it to be something else. The presence of goddess figurines has led many people to suppose that we have here some earth religion that deals with the power of the feminine principle. Now, in fact, all we can say is that we know we have many of these figurines that show the Minoan goddess or priestess wearing the typical garments of a Minoan woman, that is, the tight blouse leaving the breasts exposed, the long flounced skirt. We see these in frescoes and figurines. And in the case of many of these goddess or priestess figurines, we see snakes entwined around the arms. Now, snakes are traditionally associated with the earth, with regeneration as they slough their skin, and they're often associated with ancestor worship as well. What was the precise meaning of the snake in Minoan religion? We don't know. All we can do is, by analogy, suggest that we have here a religious system which incorporates the world, the earth, the ground, possibly construed as a female principle. The later Greeks certainly thought of it as the earth mother, da, de, mater, Demeter, the earth mother. And then we seem to have some kind of sky god being worshipped in these hilltop shrines. And it may be that we have, given the fact that our palaces here look like palaces from the ancient Near East, something like the same pattern that we find in those cultures as well, where often a powerful female goddess has a male consort.